Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 2 Kings with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through 2 Kings chapter 15, starting in verse 8, where we see that when we realize that we have been forgiven and set free and our eternity is secure, our master passion should be to reach every person with the liberating truth of the gospel. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 2 Kings chapter 15, verse 8.
And shine and love people into the kingdom. Otherwise, your reading of what our story will be. America is not mentioned in the end times. You can do whatever you want with that. I've heard all sorts of conspiracies. I've heard all sorts of reasonings to it. Listen, there's either one of two reasons as to why we're not. We're raptured predominantly as a nation. That's the one that I'm preaching for. Or we are no longer the United States of America. We belong to another nation because we too are taken into exile, or the nation comes here and takes over this nation and we are called something different. We're not going to get winked at by the Lord when Rome didn't, when Babylon didn't, when Assyria didn't. Listen, this isn't Bible stuff. Go to Ogden Library and take out books. That's how I still learn. Go take out books, read books, go online, go do research on the superpowers of the world in history. Nobody makes it out when they get to this place of despicable deeds and sinfulness and wickedness, when homosexuality and sexual perversion, the innocents being harmed, children being ripped out of their mother's womb. Listen, the sanctity of life, God is the giver of life. We have no business doing these things. This is no condemnation to the world. If you're here tonight, you're not a Christian. There's no condemnation to you. This is a family gathering. I'm talking to the bride of Christ tonight. The onus is on us, not on them. Sinners are sinning, doing what they know to do. What is the church doing? We've got the full counsel of God's word. We've got the full revelation of God's heart, everything he wants us to have. We have no excuses. And with that, we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's ask Jesus to light our lampstands and go do something for his kingdom. Go to our neighborhoods, go to our schools. Enough of trying to fit into the world, but rather stand out from the world and show them what a lover of Jesus Christ looks like and give them hope. I've never been a person that can just sort of do something. I can't sort of work out. I can't sort of play a sport. I can't sort of wrestle with the young guys. If you wrestle me, I'm going to kill you. And if I can't, I'll get a baseball bat or whatever it will take. Lou Palmer taught me that long ago. After you turn 30, you don't wrestle to wrestle for fun. You kill somebody. That's how you wrestle. You don't sort of do things as somebody who's saying, Jesus, because you've lost your life. You said, Lord, it's no longer I'm who living, but it's you who lives in me. My life is yours. It belongs to you. I'm a soldier in your army. I'm an ambassador for your glory, Lord. I don't sort of be a Christian. I don't sort of keep up with the fashion industry. If pajama-looking pants are in style, I'm going to rock the snot out of them until they no longer are. You don't do things sort of. You do them all the way. And those of you who do, that's different when it's your diet. That's different when it's, you know, things that are not eternal. This is eternal. What was that song we just sang? The last song about the cross of Jesus Christ. How did that go? There was something about may it never lose its power over me. Is that how it went? That pierced me. I had to stop singing. I thought, Lord, I don't want the cross of you, Jesus, to lose its power over this. You know how many churches are dried up right now? They're dried up. They're drying up or they're dried up. Lord, I don't want that to be ever of us. There's something so sweet here. God, I want to protect that. and the Holy Spirit just ministered to me, then it's got to be always about the cross. Bring every message back to the cross and the power of Jesus Christ. And the reason why any of us are even here on a Wednesday night in the middle of the wintertime. Lord, please don't let the power of the cross, the power, more importantly, of the resurrection, ever lose its power over me. Let's chew on that for a second. What does that even mean? Well, do you remember what that was to you when you first heard of the gospel? You all remember what that was to you, wherever it was, whenever it was, when you heard about a God who loved you so much that he murdered his son for you, for your freedom and for your forgiveness? Do you remember the impact it had on you? When you heard that he made him who knew no sin to become sin for you, to become your sin for you, so that you might become the righteousness of God? Do you remember how that pierced you, gave you chills down your body? Do you remember how that brought you to tears? Do you remember how that stirred you? Do you remember how that excited you? You wanted to tell everybody and anybody that would actually listen to you and give you a second to speak. Do you remember that? I remember that. I remember when Romans came back into my life. That was the book I came back to as a teenager. And I remember how it liberated me. I remember what it did for me. I remember how excited I couldn't stop talking about Jesus and the Pauline epistles. It was so exciting to me. That is what it means when we sing, Lord, don't let the power of the cross, Lord, diminish in my life. Let's not become so heady and intellectual that we lose what the central thing is of our faith, Jesus, him crucified and him resurrected, and what that does for us and what that needs to do through us to reach humanity and to give them the hope that we have. Man, I hope there's never a time that I'm pastoring here that this church dries up. I'll take it so personal, I don't think I'd be able to handle it well. You ever visited a church where no one's worshiping? I'm not talking about singing and making noise. I'm talking about worshiping. You ever been to a church where nobody amens anything? Nobody claps for Jesus and gets excited over his word? I have. And I hate it. And I hate when people find out that I'm a pastor when I'm at those churches, and then they might think that that's what we do here. The only way that this place is going to stay alive, and the only way that you and I are going to stay alive and not just grow crusty in Christianity, is if the cross of Jesus Christ is central. And I'm going to tell you something. I fully believe this experientially. You will grow crusty if you don't share your faith. If you don't tell people about Jesus, you will become a spiritually fat Christian that is stagnant and dried up. You'll lose compassion. Don't lose touch with the world. Have contact without contamination. Don't isolate yourself. Come here on Wednesdays. Young people, come here on Fridays. Come here on Mondays to pray. Come here on Sundays. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I'm saying this. The other days, get out there. Don't isolate yourself. I was at a restaurant the other day, and my waitress grew up in the faith. My waitress was somebody who was raised in the truth, and she is seriously wounded by the church. And you know what? What she was saying and how she was saying it was totally vulgar and crude. I didn't jump down her throat. I just let her spiel because she's hurt. And people out there just need to spiel because they're hurt. There's a lot of people in our backyard, in our neighborhoods, that know about Jesus, that went to Vacation Bible School, that grew up in a church, and they don't need to be bum-rushed and bombarded with scripture where we're just knocking them down and belittling them and correcting them. They need to have contact with us without allowing them to contaminate us, but where we can give them the love of Jesus Christ that's constraining us, that will woo them unto himself, because it's his kindness that leads to repentance. And they need to hear about it. And when we stop doing that, when we stop being real with people, it's so hypocritical. Come on, you haven't had a dirty thought this week? You didn't go somewhere you shouldn't have gone? You didn't touch something you shouldn't have handled? Who here can say that? I can't stand that. I can't stand religious hypocrisy. I've got no patience for religious zealots. I've got no patience because it's such baloney. There's not a person here tonight that could actually really believe that they've arrived. If you do, you're delusional. You go to bed with yourself. I go to bed with myself. Come on, this is the truth. We've got to do better than this. The only difference between us and them is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the power over us. So we've got to get out there. We've got to get out there and let people know there's a realness. You can still go to restaurants. You can still go to movies. You could still enjoy nice things. You're just a normal person, if that is even a thing, that's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you've been redeemed, and your eternity is secure. You've been forgiven, and you've been set free. And that should be your master passion, to reach every other person with that liberating truth. So what if you know the catechism? So what if you can tell me the whole timeline of the book of Revelation? So what if you know every apostle's name? So what if you can tell me all the minor prophets and major prophets and where they line up with all the historical books? So what if you can argue about Calvinism versus Arminianism? Smarter people than any of us here have been doing it for centuries, and they still haven't figured out an answer. So what if you can hold an argument about eschatology, post-trib, you know, mid-trib, pre-trib? You'll find out that I'm right and you were wrong at some point. Who cares? We've lost it. We've lost the meaning of everything if the power of Jesus Christ isn't over us and moving us to reach a world that is broken but not forsaken. The world is broken and it's bent, but it's not forsaken, or else Jesus would have already called us home. So no complaining, I want to get out of here, I wish we were out of this world is out of, no. Jesus said it's not time to go home, guys, you've got work to do. God help us. I don't want to be here so much that I don't know what to do when I'm out there. I want to be comfortable. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I want to be able to be around unbelievers and sinners that are sinning without freaking out and judging them. I want to be able to build relationships and love people to the kingdom, because that's when it sticks. Oh, I got so mad the other day. Somebody posted something so ignorant. I've got to get off Facebook. Somebody posted something so ignorant that Francis Assisi said centuries ago. He said something brilliant, and they said it was, they tried to mock it. Witness wherever you go, and if you have to, use words, and they twisted it. What he said in context, I heard this sermon, was beautiful. What he's saying is live in such a way that you attract men to Jesus. He never said you shouldn't use words. His point was live such a way that you don't even really have to use words to draw people initially to Christ, because they see something in you. People do not, care how much you know till they know how much you care. There is a plethora of preachers everywhere. We've got, by the grace of God, Christian radio, Christian television, TBN, the 700 Club. There is not a shortage. There is not a lack of the going forth of the Word of God. There's a lacking in the hearing of the Word of God, because people are disgusted by what they see. Light and salt do not make noise. Jesus said those are the things we're to be. Let's pause for a second. Let's pray for our nation. Because the power is in praying. Amen? The power is not in my preaching. The power is not in our purposing. The power is in prayer. Jesus said that my house shall be called a house of prayer. Let's just begin to cry out for our nation right now, asking Jesus to forgive us for all the unborn babies that have been ripped out of their mother's wombs. If you're here tonight and that is something that is a part of your story, and you've come to Jesus Christ, you are forgiven tonight, by the way. There is no unforgivable sin except for rejecting Jesus Christ. But let's pray for those who aren't repentant tonight. Let's pray for this nation, for our sexual immorality, not just homosexuality, but just sexual perversion in general. Let's pray tonight for forgiveness, for redemption, for healing. Let's pray for our president tonight, regardless of what your political position is. That's irrelevant. You were commanded by Jesus Christ to pray for the powers in office over you. Let's pray for our governors. Let's pray for our senators. Let's pray for New York State. Let's pray for the city. Let's pray for Ogden. Let's pray for Jesus to do something in and through us before he calls us home. Jesus, we come before you tonight as beggars wanting to tell other beggars where we found the bread. We're not the bread producers, we're beggars. That's all we are, that's all we've been, and that's all we'll ever be. We're beggars. We are individuals who fall short of your glory. We're a people, God, whose righteousness is like filthy rags apart from you. But in you, we have found forgiveness. In you, we have found freedom. And we thank you and we celebrate your redemptive power in our lives, Lord. Stir us to pray right now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to finish chapter 15 with you guys, and then we'll break. We were going to do chapter 16, but time's up. So we'll pick up with Ahaz the next time we gather. But there is something for us as we close here in chapter 15 that the Holy Spirit just gave me, so I want to give it to you guys. Because I'll probably forget it by next week. It says, we've gotten down as far as, where are we here? We got down as far as verse 31. The rest of the acts of Pekah and all that he did, behold, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel. Now, in the second year of Pekah, verse 32, if you close your Bible, you can just listen. I got like six verses I'm going to read to you and we're going to be done. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. Listen, 25 years old was he when he began to reign. And he reigned for 16 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Now, here's the thing about this guy. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, the high places were not removed, which, you know, it's the only negative thing from Saul all the way down with each of these kings, with the exception of few. I mean, they just did not remove those high places. However, here it tells us this. Even though that was going on, it says that the high places remained intact, but the people sacrificed and burnt incense still in the high places. But here, this man that is raised up here, this man Jotham, it tells us at the end of verse 35, tuck this away for our close, he built the higher gate of the house of the Lord. Now, the rest of the acts of Jotham, all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to send against Judah Rezin, the king of Syria. There it is again. The Lord is behind the scenes, supernaturally, naturally setting things up. And Pekah, the son of Remaliah. Verse 38, and Jotham slept with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. And Ahaz, his son, who we'll look at next time, he reigned in his stead. And Ahaz will be the most wicked king to date when we get to him. Now, before we close, I want to tell you this. I love what it says here at the end. I was just reading this at the end of verse 35, that this man Jotham, he built the higher gate of the house of the Lord from the palace. It seems as though that he wanted to put a link between where he lived and the temple. It's as though it says this to us, that Lord, I want to be where you are more. I want to be in your presence more. He had a link, a bridge, if you would, designed, if I'm understanding this right, between the palace and the house of the Lord. His dad messed up. If you were with us last week, then you know that. Uzziah messed up. He wanted to take the role of a priest on, and he wanted to go and make offering and sacrifices in the Holy of Holies. The high priest plus another 80 priests tried to stop him and forbid him from what he was doing. He got so prideful and egotistical, as good as he started, right? Great is the art of starting, but greater is the art of finishing. As good as he started and as well as he did, at the end he got cuckoo, he got lifted up in pride, he thought he can get away with anything. He barged into the Holy of Holies and the Lord smote him with leprosy. His son here, Jotham, it's as though he's understanding, I get my dad's heart. He wants to be not only a king, but a priest. But God didn't call us that. We don't have Levi jeans. We don't have that calling, that anointing on our lives. So I want to do God's will, God's way. And I'm going to build a bridge from where I live to the house of the Lord so that in the appropriate manner, I can have access to his presence because I want to be there more. I think that's a beautiful place for us to end. We got our portion for what we're supposed to do out there, but that's an encouragement to you and I as we see the day of the Lord approaching. I think this is Hebrews chapter 10. I think it's verse 25. I don't know why I even tell you what I think if I don't know, but I do. I think it's verse 25. Let us provoke each other unto good works, and as we see the day of the Lord approaching, let us not forsake the assembly of the brethren, the gathering together as the church. As we see the near return of Christ, we're on the brink of it, the imminent return of Jesus Christ, as we watch this, as we hold our Bible in one hand, and we watch the news in the other hand, right? We have the clicker in the other hand. We're watching the news. Let's purpose in our hearts to be in the house of the Lord, to find strength in the house of the Lord, to gather together as God's people, to corporately worship and study around his word. Live stream, Vimeo, YouTube, great. You know, the podcast, great, but it is in church. Let's come lifetime. Let's have real FaceTime. Let's worship Jesus. Let's find strength by iron sharpening iron. And let's get our ammo from the Lord, from his spirit, so that we can go out there and be what he wants us to be. Let's purpose in our hearts. I've got to stay close to the house of the Lord. That's my refuge. That's my place of strength, the house of the Lord. Amen? Awesome. Daniel and the team, they're going to come. They're going to close this out. Let's stand and give adoration and praise to the Lord. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you, God, for this time that we can be here together in your house. And Lord, we want to just sing to you. We want to make a joyful noise to you, God, not because everything's honky-dory, not because everything is exactly the way that we think it should be right now, Lord, but simply because you died on the cross for our sins and you rose again victoriously. And that is the main reason. That is the epicenter of everything, Lord, why we worship you, why we adore you. So we ask you that you would now allow this to put a smile on your face as our praises arise before your throne. Let it be a sweet smell in your nostrils, Lord, a savory smell, we ask. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.